So no matter what we call them, those stories about tunnels with a light at the end, family members waiting, a life review, well, they're fascinating. They make dying sound like something you could maybe look forward to. But they are just stories, and completely unverifiable, aren't they? Steve Paulson brings us a report on how science is beginning to grapple with near-death experiences.
To get a sense of the controversy over near-death experiences, you almost have to start with Eben Alexander, the neurosurgeon who nearly died in 2008 from a rare form of bacterial meningitis. He was in a coma for a week, and when he came out of it, he said he had proof of heaven because he'd been there.
I was aware of many souls dancing, and I remember gold and silver arcs. And from these arcs were coming choral hymns. The power behind that music, so infinite and awe-inspiring music, more beautiful than anything I could imagine on earth.
Alexander's account was remarkably detailed. He not only heard heavenly music, he felt a warm summer breeze and rode beside an angelic being on the wing of a giant butterfly.
And it changed everything for me. That warm breeze was this breath that led me to know that this was the creative, infinite power of the divine.
Eben Alexander's account of his near-death experience got a lot of traction because of his impeccable credentials. He's a former neurosurgeon who taught at Harvard Medical School. As you can imagine, media outlets went crazy over it. He landed on the cover of Newsweek magazine and was interviewed by Oprah Winfrey, Nightline, and all the rest. But it's not so much his story of glimpsing the afterlife that's generated so much controversy. It's Alexander's claim that he had this entire experience while his cortex, the part of the brain that controls our thoughts and feelings, was offline.
He did not present any credible case to suggest that his brain had shut down.
Sam Harris, the noted atheist and neuroscientist, is Alexander's most outspoken critic.
And his brain is obviously back online because he remembers his experience. And there's no evidence he's presented that suggests that he couldn't have had his NDE, his near-death experience, when his brain was coming back online.
You're saying part of the problem is he was coming out of his coma, or his brain was coming back online, and that's when he recalled these experiences?
Or had them. First of all, there's no evidence that his brain ever totally shut down. That is neurologically an implausible claim. Even people in comas have 50 to 70% of the kind of neural activity you expect in a normal person. So let's just grant him that his brain did shut down. It's back now. So the plausible time to place his experience is in the reboot, not when it was offline, because he remembers this stuff.
So there's a deeper issue here. Eben Alexander and other people who've had near-death experiences believe they're evidence of an afterlife or some other dimension of reality. But according to the reigning paradigm of brain science, you can't have conscious awareness, let alone visions of heavenly beings, if your brain has flatlined. So when your brain dies, your mind can't just detach itself and float away, can it?
You know, the reality is we just have no idea how the mind is connected to the body. That's an impenetrable philosophical question.
Raymond Moody is the psychiatrist and former philosophy professor who first coined the phrase near-death experience back in the mid-70s. He's collected thousands of stories of NDEs, and he says they have a lot in common.
All over the world, there is a common pattern. People tell us about a dramatic transformation of perspective where suddenly they feel they exit their body and start observing the scene of the resuscitation from above. They actually see their physical bodies being resuscitated. They tell us about passage through some sort of a tube or tunnel into another world where they encounter a brilliant light far brighter than anything that we know while we're alive, and yet completely comfortable, joyful. They tell us that relatives or friends of theirs who have already died seem to be there almost as greeters, just greeting people who come in. And people, when they come back from this, they tell us their lives are transformed, that whatever they had been chasing before, that after this they think the most important thing we can do while we're alive is to learn how to love.
Raymond Moody says most people who've had near-death experiences come to believe that death is not the end, but a transition into another reality, and their own fear of death often disappears.
I am convinced that consciousness continues, that we are always connected with loved ones, that there is an order rather than a chaos to life and death.
That's Lani Leary, a psychotherapist who works with people who are dying. One reason she went into this line of work is a near-death experience she had when she was 28, when she went into anaphylactic shock after inhaling nitrous oxide during a dental procedure and was unconscious for about 10 minutes.
One minute I was in lying back in the dentist chair, and the next minute I was aware that I was up in the corner of the ceiling of the room. No pain, no fear, no anxiety, but observing the dentist who was frantic. The next thing I knew, I was going into a tunnel, and my mother was at the entrance of the tunnel with her arms open wide. I hadn't seen my mother in 15 years. She'd been dead for 15 years. I knew that she knew all the details of my life that I so badly, you know, wanted to tell her every single day that she was gone. There was just such peace. And the next thing I knew, I was being drawn to a point of light at the end of a tunnel. And I went through this tunnel with beautiful, beautiful music. And then the light was all around me. And then I was inside the light, almost as though the light and I were one. And I knew in every fiber of whatever I was that I was loved and forgiven beyond anything I'd ever experienced or have since. And I wanted to stay there. And the light communicated to me, again, telepathically, but I felt it. You have to go back. And with all of me, I yelled, no. And again, the light said, you have to go back. You have work to do. And the next thing I knew, I was coming back through the tunnel and, you know, regained consciousness back in the dentist chair.
So what are we supposed to make of a story like this? Take one of the main components, the out-of-body experience, rising up out of your body, hovering overhead, hearing and seeing what's going on down below. Can science explain any of this?
There's actually very little to no controversy in the neurologic circles about out-of-body experiences. One of the remarkable things is that they're actually very common. 1 in 20 people are going to have an out-of-body experience in their lifetime.
Kevin Nelson's a neurologist at the University of Kentucky who's written a book about near-death experiences. He says there's a purely physiological explanation. The tunnel in the white light? It's caused by low blood flow when oxygen is cut off from the brain. First thing to go is your peripheral vision, but the center of your vision is still there, so you get the tunnel-like sensation. Then once your eyes lose all blood flow, you can only see light. Nelson also speculates that the vivid images in NDEs are triggered by what he calls a REM intrusion. That's the rapid eye movement brain state when you dream. But in this case, there might be a merging of dreaming and waking states of consciousness. At a recent debate on NDEs at the New York Academy of Sciences, Nelson said not only are out-of-body experiences incredibly common, they can actually be induced. And there's a guy in Switzerland who's done it.
Ulf Blank, a neurologist in Switzerland, has taken an electrode in this area, and he'll apply the current. It's about 1/100th of a 60-watt light bulb. When he flips the switch on, boom, they're out of body. They can be above, they can be hovering behind. Turn the switch off, they're back in.
So, out-of-body experiences explained? Is it all just neural fireworks?
Okay, Peter, do you accept this explanation of out-of-body experiences?
Not much.
Neuropsychiatrist Peter Fenwick is one of Britain's leading NDE researchers. He's analyzed more than 300 cases, and he's especially intrigued by one of the key experiences that people report.
One would normally think, okay, the person comes out of their body and then goes down the tunnel or something. It's not quite like that. They come out of their body and they perceive what is going on around them. The next thing about the experience is that they don't only get information from where they are in the OR room, they get it also by going through walls and hearing conversations from other people in different rooms, and there was no way that they could hear it. Now, if that is true, then it suggests that mind and brain can separate.
You know, for a subject that used to be off limits for scientists, near-death experiences are getting closer attention in labs and field studies all around the world. But how much will they ever be able to explain? The Australian sociologist Alan Kelleher has looked closely at the NDE studies, and he says there are so many unanswered questions, so many cross-cultural variables, that science alone won't unpack the mystery.
And the other thing is that if tunnel sensation or life review was due to physiological processes, then you would expect a New York businessman and a New Guinean tribesman to have exactly the same experiences. But in fact, some of these characteristics are not even cross-cultural. So we haven't found a case of a hunter-gatherer who's had a life review because their particular psychology doesn't worship individual biography.
So how do you explain this? Can you explain it? Why people have these experiences? I mean, is it contact with the other side, with another dimension?
I don't think I can answer that question. I'm not sure what it is. I can tell you that the hallucination explanation is a bad one. It's got lots of holes in it. They may be a special type of hallucination, maybe, or they may be a window to the afterlife. But I can tell you that the evidence at this stage does not answer it for us.
If you're still curious about near-death experiences, you'll find more of Steve's interviews on the subject and the video of that New York Academy of Sciences debate on our website. That's at ttbook.org/death. I'm Anne Strainchamps. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.